Good morning and welcome to worship at Germantown Presbyterian Church. Good morning, church. Can you hear me? Are we good? Is that better? Okay. Good morning, church. We are so glad that you are here with us to worship and glorify God's name and just to give praise to God this morning. So we're so glad that you're here. If you happen to be a visitor this morning, then we invite you not only to sign the fellowship pad, we want everybody to do that so that we know you're here, but in the back, in the narthex, you will find bright yellow visitor bags, and we want you to have one if you are a first-time visitor here at Germantown Presbyterian Church. We want you to know who we are, and we want to get to know you as well, and so we welcome everyone. So please do fill out the friendship pads that are there in the pew and pass them to your neighbors so that we can know that you're all here. If you're not here, then you don't have to fill one out. But if you're worshiping with us online, we would like for you to sign the friendship pad that is there online. Is this good? I'm getting a thumbs up. If you're worshiping with us online, you can sign the friendship pad there. You can also download a bulletin, and we certainly welcome all of you who are coming to us via our live stream, which we're so grateful to have. I do have a couple of announcements. I think all the parents know, but for the month of July, Children and Youth Sunday School is on hiatus. Adult Sunday school classes are continuing to take place, however. There will be a new member joining. If you're interested in being a part of our wonderful community of faith here at GPC, we invite you to look at that notice that's in your bulletin, and there's contact information there if you're interested in joining GPC. That joining will be next Sunday, July 17th at 9:30 in the parlor. We have evening worship tonight at 6 in the Fellowship Hall, and that's a different style of worship, but we invite you all to come back and experience it with us and be a part of that that glorification and honor to God through worship in the Fellowship Hall at 6 o'clock. We welcome to our pulpit this morning Tom Sauer, and Tom is a commission ruling elder. And he serves as a lay pastor to our seniors. And so we welcome Tom to our pulpit this morning. We're so glad to have him. I think those are all the announcements. And so I invite us all to take a deep breath collectively and prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of Almighty God.
Good morning. I invite you to stand as you're able and join me for our call to worship. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls.
To you, O God, we put our hopes.
No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame.
No one whose hope is in you will ever be forgotten.
Show us your way, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Bring us safely into your holy presence, O God.
That we might worship your holy name.
Come, let us worship the Lord.
Thank you.
proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and humility, with humble hearts, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to confess our sin. We have been selfish instead of generous. We have been proud instead of humble. We have held grudges instead of forgiving. We have proven over and over again that we cannot be good enough on our own. We need more of you and less of ourselves. Gracious God, we ask for your forgiveness. Comfort our hearts that we may know that we have complete redemption by your grace alone. We pray. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. As our children come forward for the children's message, I invite you to turn and greet your neighbors with the peace of Christ.
Peace of Christ be with you.
They are so excited to go back to school. It's so cool. Thank you. Good morning. I have some pictures to show you. Can you tell me what I'm holding right here?
Apples.
How many apples?
Three.
Okay. There's three apples in my story and a couple of cherries. Okay. So are apples and cherries the same thing?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay. Good. So Jesus was telling the story of the Good Samaritan to the Israelites, his people, because he was trying to get them to understand the rule of love your neighbor as yourself. So right now, you each have a neighbor next to you. Turn to your neighbor and say hi. That's your neighbor. Okay, cool. So there was this apple walking along the road, and he was by himself, and so some really bad people came and beat him up and left him on the side of the road. In this story, this is apple number one. So poor apple number one got all bruised up and beat up and was sitting on the side of the road. He couldn't move. He really needed some help. And he was hoping another apple would come along and help him out. So another apple came along, and this apple, he was afraid that the hurt apple was playing a trick. So he was scared and too afraid to help the hurt apple. So he actually ran away in the other direction. And then this other apple came along, and saw the apples laying there needing help. And he was just really, really busy. So he was like, oh, I don't have time for this. So he just walked on by and hoped that the other apple didn't really seem. Okay. And then along came the cherry, okay, who is very different than the apple. So different person. And usually apples and cherries, they didn't mix well. They didn't like each other, you know. And so the apple really didn't think the cherry was going to help, but the cherry helped the apple get up, took care of the apple, and actually like made sure he was all well, which was really cool. So the point of the story of the apples and the cherries isn't really whether it's an apple or a cherry. Jesus was trying to get his people to understand who was the good neighbor. Was it the apple who didn't help and ran away, the apple who was too busy to help, or the cherry who came by and said, you know, even though you're not like me, I'm going to help you. Good. So the cherry helped. So what that points out to you is everybody is your neighbor, whether they're like you or not like you. And so we're supposed to love our neighbor, which means we're supposed to love everybody. So look around. There's a whole bunch of people. These are all our neighbors. And then there's more neighbors out there. So everybody you meet today is a neighbor, and you want to be sweet and helpful. Cool? Okay. Got it? Yeah. Okay. We're going to say a prayer.
There's some poor people who don't have money and stuff, so maybe you have to
give some stuff to them. That would be very nice, Risto. He's got really good ideas and ambitions. Good job, parents. I know you're in here somewhere. Okay, let's say our prayer. You ready? Can we say our prayer? Will you say it after me? Okay. Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for teaching us. We love you too. And we're going to go be good neighbors. Yeah, we're going to be good neighbors. Good job. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.
Amen. Thank you very much. If you could please bow your heads for a word of prayer. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. This we pray through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have two scripture readings this morning. First, from the Gospel of Mark. Here of a conversation that Jesus has with an inquirer. So hear now the word of the Lord. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask Jesus any more questions. Then our Old Testament reading comes from the 7th chapter of the prophet Amos, starting at verse 7. Amos is speaking and he says, "This is what he, God, showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that had been built true to plumb, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord asked me, 'What do you see, Amos?' 'A plumb line,' I replied. Then the Lord said, 'Look, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword I will rise against the house of Jeroboam.' Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. 'Amos is raising a conspiracy against you in the very heart of Israel. The land cannot bear all his words. For this is what Amos is saying: Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land.' Then Amaziah said to Amos, 'Get out, you seer. Go back to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there, and do not prophesy here. Don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, because this is the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom.' Amos answered Amaziah, 'I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, "Go prophesy to my people Israel." Now then, hear the word of the Lord. You say, "Do not prophesy against Israel and stop preaching against the descendants of Isaac." Therefore, this is what the Lord says: Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country. And Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land." And this is the word of the Lord. When I was a child, summers were a wonderful time, and I'm guessing it was the same for you. Never had a boring moment riding bikes, swimming, or just being with my friends. And there are always lots of friends around in the summertime playing outside. And play we did. All sorts of game. Tag, hide and seek, kick the can. You name it, and we played it. But winning wasn't important. We all just wanted to have fun. Except for that one kid, Charlie, who didn't play for fun. He had to win. Now, Charlie claimed to know every rule of any game we were playing, and he was quick to pass judgment when a question about rules came up. And if something happened that went against him, he would claim that some rule had been violated. The spinner was on a line. Someone must have bumped the table. He wasn't ready for the pitch. It didn't matter. And when he was challenged, Charlie would argue that the rules applied, and if we argued they didn't, he said, well, then they need to be adjusted. Always in his favor, of course. But the most irritating thing about Charlie, he always bragged about what a great player he was and how much smarter he was than the rest of us. We tried talking to him, but he was too proud to listen. Maybe you had a friend like Charlie. Well, our reading from Amos comes at a time when the northern kingdom of Israel had great pride. Their economy was robust, and their military was strong. They thought they had built themselves a strong and powerful nation, and they took pride in what they had achieved. But their pride misled them. They believed that they could interpret God's laws to their advantage. They thought it's really okay to worship foreign gods, to cheat each other, to enslave people. God had sent prophets to warn them, but calling them to repent and humble themselves, but they were too proud to see the need to change. And we tend to be like this, don't we? We take pride in what we've achieved, and we don't want to change anything. Our pride says we deserve to win, to get ahead, to come out on top. Pride also says that we can interpret the rules to our advantage. Maybe tell those little white lies that make us look good. Maybe even cheat a little bit to get ahead. I thought a good example of this is the late Bernie Madoff. You may remember him from the news some years ago. But Bernie started working as a small-time stockbroker, investing for the small clients that the big firms wouldn't touch. And those big firms looked down on Bernie. But Bernie was proud and felt that he was every bit as good as the big firms. And he was determined to prove this. And he did. He showed those big firms who he was by reporting greater returns than they did, year after year. And this brought Bernie lots of attention and further fed his pride. And on that first occasion when he failed to achieve the greater returns than the other guys, his pride said it was okay to fudge a little bit, shuffle some money around, and lie to show the desired results, the results that he wanted. He was too proud to admit that he couldn't always outperform anyone else. Well, God had sent Amos with a final message for the Israelites. The people's pride had come between them and God. So God used the image of a plumb line, an instrument used when building to show true vertical. And he used this as an image to show them just how far out of line they were. God had given the people a choice. Humble yourselves and return to me, or remain prideful and be destroyed. But the Israelites rejected God's message. They chose to reject it. They were too proud to humble themselves and acknowledge their sins. to seek redemption and a restored relationship with God. Instead, they told Amos to go home. And as we know from history, God's promised destruction soon followed. And my friends, God is giving us the same choice. In our reading from Mark's Gospel, we heard Jesus lay out what we must do. Love God and love each other. Put pride aside, humble ourselves, and acknowledge God. Now, Bernie Madoff was given this choice when he could no longer hide his fraud. But he was too proud to choose humility. He chose silence and jail instead of sharing the details of his scheme. He chose to go to prison, exiled from family and friends, never to walk again as a free man. Okay, so what's the antidote to pride? Humility. Now, humility is not thinking less of yourself. I say it's thinking about yourself less. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. But why does God call us to live lives of humility? Well, I say first, with humility, we recognize our limits. And we accept that there are some things beyond our control or understanding. Things we can live through only by turning to God. For example, we might think our financial future is all set until a recession hits our savings. We might think we've raised our children to obey all the laws. And then the phone rings one night, and it's the police. We think our health is under control until a routine exam gives us some unwelcome news. Some things are beyond us, but with humility we can worship God and acknowledge His sovereignty, His grace, and His mercy for us. And second, I think God calls us to humility so we can begin to see every situation through God's eyes. And He helps us accept the circumstances we find ourselves in. Otherwise, we tend to grumble and complain that our situation isn't good enough for us, that we deserve better. And we thereby miss God's purpose for us there at that time and at that place. With humility, we are better able to be God's hands and feet and voice in a hurting world. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Christ lived a life of true humility and fulfilled God's purpose. By humbling Himself, He conquered death and sin and showed us the way to eternal life. So how do we get humility? I see two ways. First, we acknowledge that we need God's help. This doesn't mean we're useless, just that we quite often can't do things on our own. One day a little boy was walking along a country path with his father. And like all little boys, the boy would occasionally pick up a stone and see how far he could throw it. Well, eventually they came to a big stone by the side of the path. And the boy looked at the stone, then up at his father and asked, "Dad, do you think I could move that rock?" The father looked at the rock and then back at his son and said, "I think if you put all your strength to the task, you could move that rock." So, encouraged, the little boy walked over to the rock and began pushing on it. Rock didn't move. Boy pushed up his shirt sleeves and tried harder. Beads of sweat broke out on his forehead, but still the rock would not move. The boy tried again and again, but the rock stayed put. Finally, the boy slumped down on the ground, defeated. He looked up at his father with tears in his eyes and says, "Dad, you said I could move the rock, but I can't." And the father said, "Son, I did tell you you could move that rock if you put all your strength to the task. But you haven't applied all your strength. You haven't asked me to help. and I admit it. I'm like that little boy. I think I'm strong enough and capable enough and smart enough to tackle any problem on my own. I'm proud of my abilities, and I forget to seek God's guidance and help. And I say we get humility the second way is when we live a life of humility. But living a life of humility means we live like this. We put aside our wants and live for God. We allow humility to guide every action that we undertake. We're considerate of others and let them win. We stop seeking attention for our wants and focus on what others need. We listen more and talk less. We seek God's will in everything. In short, we live a life of humility when we love God and love each other. So, my friends, pride or humility, it's our choice. Amen.
Siblings, we've been blessed to hear God's word read and proclaimed to us. And so now we have an opportunity to respond by affirming our faith with one strong voice. So I invite you to stand and let us indeed affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed, which is printed in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
All morning, in silence, when we got up, when we've been here today, God has been actually having a conversation with us. And we have an opportunity now to talk back. So would you join me in a prayer? Oh, good morning, Jesus. We hear your voice. And it's true. For many good and holy reasons, we have looked at this relationship with you as a tool to be leveraged for our ends, to build up our life, to achieve our plans. And as you are so good at doing, you have flipped the tables again and revealed to us the deeper truth that faith is not merely something to be wielded. It is something to be lived. It is who we are at our deepest level, a new creation, a new people, a royal priesthood, utterly devoted to your will and to your ways. And so we thank you like a good parent for not just telling us what we want to hear, for loving us more than we could ever love ourselves and telling us what we need to hear. And God, as you've been speaking to us, every time you do that, our hearts kind of percolate and bubble with the things of our life. And a lot of times we consider you here and those things at a distance, and you tell us no. Your love is all-consuming. So we boldly come before you with the things that are on the surface of our lives, the things that are bothering us, that are giving us so much joy, the parts that are off, and the places that are fully congruous with your grace. And we think about our sisters and brothers near and far, friends, family, the people that we know that are craving peace, looking for purpose, maybe a new job, a sense of home and community and friendship. Those who are struggling through treatments, for whom healing seems like a distant dream. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We think about our own country and all the mess that the last few years have been. And Lord, we pray for peace. We pray for strength and unity to flood in again. We lift before you all of the businesses that are struggling right now, mightily under the weight of this uncertain economic time, struggling to make ends meet. Operations that can't fulfill their responsibilities. We know that that is included in your good plans. And so come, Lord Jesus, come. And Lord, we lift before you our faith community, our deep desire and our craving for you, Lord. And a lot of times we crave the you that we want you to be. And we put you in these boxes and they look fantastic. And yet you are always breaking boundaries and exceeding our hopes and dreams. And so humbly we lift to you these prayers. And we're scared to do that sometimes because we're afraid to be disappointed when we ask you for something or to come in. And yet we trust you. We trust you with the totality of our lives and with the multitude of prayers that we don't even have the words for yet, saying together the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, as a people defined not by what we've done or how great we are, but by what God has done, how amazing he is, we give to God a portion of the bounty he has blessed us with through tithes and offerings in obedience to Scripture and in gratitude as a declaration of whom we serve. I invite our ushers now to come forward and receive our gifts to God.
Thank you.
Let us turn to God in prayer. Gracious God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you've blessed us with visions of new ways of being your people, the church. And so we offer our gifts, we offer our very lives to you, and we pray that you will receive them as a sign of our commitment to follow and serve Jesus wherever he leads us to go, and that you will use our gifts and us to further your beloved kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
My friends, God is calling us to a life of humility. So I challenge you to look this week at how your pride is interfering with your loving God and loving each other. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us today, and I do pray, evermore. Amen.
Just keep that sound high.